lighthouses of America. I'm looking at them. Would the lighthouses of America please stand? Thank you very much. You may be seated. Great lighthouses of America. What do lighthouses do? You heard it from the children. They shine. And as I look at each one of you, I see all of you are just as different as these lighthouses right here. You're all different. But just as our scholar said earlier, we all have one purpose in mind, and that is to what? Shine for Jesus. So just to review just a little bit about lighthouses, where are they built? Okay.
In the dangerous areas of the shore.
Right. So what's the purpose of the lighthouse?
To show the way.
To show there could be danger in the ground, or to guide people to a destination. So where are lighthouses built? We know that. But the other question about where are they built, what kind of surface are they built on? Rock. I want you to get the parallel here as we go through a few things. We have got to build our lighthouse upon the rock of Jesus. Now, I wrote down a few other things that are significant about the lighthouses. They got to be kept in good repair, good shape. After all, you got termites on the wood and you got cracks on the concrete. So if we are lighthouses, then we got to keep our body in the best shape that we can too. Then I wrote here, they must shine in all weather. So we must shine in all weather, when we feel good, when we don't feel good, when we're in good days, bad days, stormy days, cranky days, what all kind of days. Like the Bible says, when you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. So as we compare the two lighthouses, we must be very careful that we shine in all weather. The other thing I wrote down is that you've got to keep the lens clean. Because if you don't keep the lens clean, then the light's going to be distorted, and it's not going to be as effective as it should be. Then I read in Matthew 6:22. You don't have to turn to it. Just let me read it to you. Matthew 6:22. It says that the eye of is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So we've got to keep our eyes, which would be the lens of our body, clean so that we can see. And the fifth thing I wrote down was that we got to keep attached, united to the power source, which the kids saw very vividly with the lighthouse. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 5:14 and 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 16. And somebody read out loud so we all can hear, if you will. Okay.
You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Through 16.
And then verse 16. Okay, so as we keep attached to Jesus, that is our power source. Now, for example, your coming to church this day has charged your inner man, whether you feel it or not. It's like I ate a hamburger a couple of days ago. I didn't feel any different after I ate it, but I knew that something was happening to me inside. So when you come to church, you are actually feeding your inner man. You're building up your inner man. You're getting this power within you like you're supposed to have. And we're told that you are the light of the world. And I go back to the idea of the lighthouses. When lighthouses were first built, they were in the form, I would think, of a bonfire. So people would just start a bonfire at a place, and they would say, this is going to guide my loved one who's out fishing, perhaps. Then they went to oil, and it changed through the years with the electricity, and then all kind of prisms and lenses. But it was so important that a light be there, and it would be set up on the hill, like Jesus says. So why put the lighthouse in a valley where you can't see it when you need it? So Jesus is saying that we are the light of the world. So if that's the case, then my next question is, well, if I am the light of the world, why should I even shine? So when I look in the guidebook, I find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4 my answer, why I'm supposed to be shining. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And we're going to work our way down to the effects of our light. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The question is, why should we shine? And the answer is, somebody read 2 Corinthians 4:4.
In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them.
Okay, so the answer to my question is, why should we shine? Well, the answer is so that we can guide people, and secondly, so that we can show the danger to people, which is exactly what the lighthouse does. There are underground rocks in King City, figuratively speaking, which has caused shipwreck to a lot of people this past year. And not only are we lighthouses, but we also are ships. And in the context of being the lighthouse, listen to Isaiah 61. Rise and shine. What's the rest of it? Your light has come. Daniel 12:3 says, the wise shall shine. Well, you know, I really want to be wise, so I'm supposed to shine. But we're going to see in just a little bit that we're not shining as we should shine, and give you some examples why and how we can change that. Philippians 2:15 says, among whom you shine as light. So people, believe it or not, in this city, when you go grocery shopping, when you're going to other stores, you are a lighthouse, and people are watching you, and you are supposed to be shining. Among whom you shine as lights. Among whom? All of these people. So when to shine? Immediately and always. Where to shine? Where you live, work, and play. And how to shine? Through prayer and obedience to the Word. But for today, it comes right to this. What affects our light for Jesus, and what is affecting our light to the world? If we're lighthouses, and if we're supposed to be shining, what is it that is keeping my light? Remember the little song? What is it? This little, what are you supposed to do with it? This little light of mine, sing it. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Okay, why doesn't it shine? I've come to the conclusion of one word, and that is our reaction to people and our reaction to circumstances affects our light shining in our family, in the city. And that's really sad, isn't it? But that's what keeps our light from shining. It's our reaction. And it takes shape usually in the one word, of course, which I've never been, and that's angry. Anger. Anyone never been angry? Lift your hands. Never been angry? Lift your hands.
Never been?
Never been? We do get angry, don't we? And I think that is the one word, at least I think that's one word that keeps our light from shining. It's our reaction to circumstances, our reaction to people, and it usually takes the shape of being angry. So Julius Caesar said, when I'm getting ready to get angry, I quote the Roman alphabet before I say and do anything. Now, I don't know how many letters are in the Roman alphabet, but in the English alphabet, how many do we have? 26. So I'm getting really angry at you, but before I'm going to punch your lights out, I'm going to say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, and go all the way. And by the time I get to Z, I sort of maybe zoned in a way where I'm not going to react as I should. So if it's true, which I think it is, one of the things is our anger, that we've got to be very careful, because the effects of my anger is like ripples in a water. It affects the wife, it affects the husband, it affects the children, it affects the friends, it affects the neighbors, it affects all who hear. So So if we are a lighthouse, how shameful it is for he who is the light within us to be dimmed by our reaction to circumstances and our interaction to people. So I wrote down a few things that I've found true in my life regarding the circumstances and people. First of all, our reaction to people. Somebody gets late for an appointment, and we react to that. Someone is irresponsible, and we react to that. Someone is false, we react to that. Someone turns on you, we react to that. We see somebody who's getting by with murder, and we react to that. What people say about you, we react to that. What people do to you, we react to that. So the idea is that our light as a lighthouse is dimmed considerably when we react to people. It's our reaction to people. And I think, well, if Jesus is my guide, what did he do? So I turn again to the book, and I find in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, what he did. So it's a pretty good example for me. You know, when he was in his trial, he didn't even speak. I guess that's what gets us mostly in trouble, is what? Our tongue. We speak so often. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, the words are, we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, now we're talking about reactions to people, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Jesus, who endured opposition from sinful men. So the idea is, when people do things to us that are not what we would want, and as I mentioned, these things, again, they're false, they turn on you, they say things about you, they do things to you, they're irresponsible, they're late, the list goes on and on and on. Our reaction to these people is not what Jesus would do most of the time. You've all seen the bracelet, What Would Jesus Do? So what would Jesus do as we react to people? So the bottom line in this first of the second points is that our reaction to people, usually in the form of anger, is going to dim the light that God has put in us. We are the light of the world. He said so. The second thing is our reaction to circumstances and things. And I wrote down people who fly a lot. They have flight problems, and they react to this. Somebody gets nailed for speeding, like someone pretty close to me. And when it happened, why get mad at the officer? It wasn't his fault. He wasn't the one breaking the law. But it's our reaction. You have a flat tire, and I saw this man recently on the side of the road. He was just throwing his arms up in the air. He was so mad. He was kicking the tire. He was so mad. He was reacting, too. Now, this guy perhaps was a Christian. There are some family members. There were people like me driving by. It's not just to say, thank you, Lord, for the flat tire, although he could do that, like the Lord is blessing me right now. Remember that time, Nancy, we had that flat tire in the motorhome coming back from St. Louis at that some kind of a countrywide charismatic meeting, and we had two flat tires, and it was going plump, 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 and Nancy started singing, the Lord is blessing me right now, right now. I said, honey, shut up, be quiet. He is not, but he is. So our reaction to, she was shining, I was trying to think of a word that starts with an S. Anyway.
And everything good thing, but this is the will of God.
Exactly. That's a good one. Well, we do react to circumstances and things. Somebody has a very valuable object and it gets broken. You have a dish that gets broken or something, and you react to that. As a scripture for reaction to circumstances and things, I found in Romans 15:21 of an experience that Paul had. The idea is that when we are reacting to things that aren't so good, we don't want to dim our light. And it is because those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. we must never forget that we're being watched, people, in all the things that we do. Paul wanted to do different things at different times and was unable to do it. And he did not get upset about it. Like, for example, I read in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, it says, we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. So when things happen to us in the form of circumstances and things, let's just remember not to react, because it's going to cause a lot of problems, and it comes back for anger. So two little kids were playing with a top on the concrete, and it's supposed to be a true story. One little boy said, it's my turn. The other boy said, it's his turn. They started fighting over this. One guy just got so angry, because this is the key word, I think, got so angry, he found a knife, and he killed the guy. So one guy lost his life. One guy became a murderer, all because of anger, which resulted in a dispute over a very simple thing, which was a top. So our reaction to circumstances and things are very, very important. So I blow up at my wife. I blow up at my children in public. I say, what a testimony that would be, for we are being watched. And I guess the question is for us right now, are we really shining as we want to shine? And certainly I'm not shining as I want to shine, nor are you either. But God is wanting us to be, as we asked you to be earlier, you know, stand up, for you are a great lighthouse. So when I look at you, I see you're different, just like the pictures of the lighthouses, you know, the light bulbs, they're all different. Some are short, some are tall, some are decorated, some are plain, but they all do the same thing, and that's to fulfill the destiny of their design. Now, Paul put it this way. He says some of these vessels, and we'll say lighthouses, are clay, some are wood, some are metal, but it is the Spirit that works in all. So for all of us as lighthouses, so different and so unique from the one sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you, so different. It's the Spirit that works in us. That is the Spirit, like the electricity, that is the light that's within us. So, King City, you need light. We want to be the light for King City, because there have been shipwrecked souls in our town. And in the last 12 months, there's been death, suicide, drugs, alcohol, divorce, fighting, drive-by shootings, graffiti, thievery, robbery, and the list goes on and on and on, all of which could have found their answer in Jesus if the lighthouses in all of our 11 churches in town were pumped up to full capacity and not dimmed by sin, anger, envy, despair, and jealousy. But you know, I think sometimes our lighthouses are not shining, we're not giving the signal that's accurate, because it's their filters put in our way, but lighthouses guide and direct, and that's why we want to guide and to direct. So for the guy who was directing me, this has happened several times in my life, but very recently, going back to Cayucas Road construction, this man was directing the traffic, and when I got to him, I could not understand what he was telling me to do. He was, what do you want me to do? And he was giving me all these signals. It could have been so clear. Come, you know, come. That way, coming that way. And so I'm asking God to show us how we can react more properly to circumstances and people, so that our lamps will brine and will not be so saturated with the world that false signals would be sent out from us. I guess that sometimes our light diminishes so that it's just a little flicker. And one man said, naturally, I'm as irritable as any other person, but when I find anger or passion, or any other evil temper rising in my mind, I immediately go to my Redeemer. So God's got all these lighthouses. You're looking at a lighthouse that was built in 1934, a lighthouse that went into operation in 1944 when I became a Christian, a lighthouse that had a power boost in the Holy Ghost in 1973. And you likewise have hit these significant dates in your life. So the song that we have in the past sung was Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. But how can we do it effectively when our reaction in public and private dims our light? So one thing we can do as we prepare to come to the Lord's table is, as the scripture says, before we partake, we pause and we consider the sin in our life. And I would encourage you, as you bow your heads, to go through the streets of your mind last week. And if you can tag some areas in which you did not shine as you should have shined, you would ask God to forgive you. Father, our lighthouse doesn't shine as it should. We react to people. We react to circumstances. And I'm asking that as we contemplate how we have in the past been, we would, by the strength and source that comes from partaking of communion, be able to shine this week like we've never been shining. And we would direct people properly, and we would help those that are almost being shipwrecked. Ours is a responsibility, and you told us, and we sometimes forget, you are the light of the world. And we would reply by saying, who, me? And Jesus says, yes, you. And I've put you where you are so that you will shine where you work. And I think this is very prophetic. God is saying, he's put you where you are to shine. He wants you to shine where you work and where you live and even where you play. It is no mistake, you are where you are this week. And the Lord is saying that we are to shine above the circumstances for his glory. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And thank you for giving your body and blood. Reverently and soberly, we come to your table. Amen. This is my body, broken. This is my blood, spilled. And as I today lift up the bread, lift up the blood, and I say, God, I ask your blessing upon it as we partake, that the blood would cleanse us of the sin that short circuits our light, and that the body that we eat would be for our healing. Body, emotions. In Jesus' name, amen. And I would invite you to just come, receive, and then go back to your seat. Would you please? Jesus. For effective light shining, would you eat his body? And for effective light shining, would you drink his blood? And Father, I pray that this week, when we are up against it, this week when we are put in positions that we can react, that we would think of you. What would you do as what you did on Calvary for us, so that we could live effectively and shine brightly for you? In Jesus' name, amen.
Broke his knee. heel.
Ankle.
He broke his heel and had to have emergency surgery. So he's going to be off his feet for 8 weeks. And I was blessed by his reaction to it. He said, well, I guess this is a time that I'm going to have to reflect upon what I am to do with my life. Perhaps there is a change
that's
that
good.
The Lord has for me. And I was so blessed by that, because in our circumstances, we can get angry or we can get mad and blow our hands up, throw our hands up in the air and get frustrated over the whole circumstances. Or we can say, okay, this is a time where I can reflect and find out what you are saying to me in this situation.
So pray for Brian, if you will. And then from Judy Brock, we just received word this morning that my step-sister-in-law, Teresa Harbaugh, has advanced brain and lung cancer. She's been having some neurological problems coupled with cough, and she thought was allergies. The doctors are running two more tests, and Teresa and her husband, Doug, will know the results at the end of this week as to whether there is treatment or treatments that might help her. They have five children. Three are still at home, being teenagers. They are devoted Christians and are asking for prayer and a miracle of healing. Please pass this request on to any praying friends or prayer chains. Bless you all for your faithfulness. Love, Judy Brock, formerly of our church. Let's bow and pray maybe for Teresa. All of you privately praying, and then one of you out loud, would you? Son Brian to you, Lord, and with him all of us right now in this room who have need of a healing. And your pastor has injured his shoulder very badly and with a rotator cuff problem. I would like for you to pray for me, if you will.
Dear God, did you say she is in Phoenix, Arizona? Where is she?
I don't know where she is. But right now, I would like people to pray for me. I've got a very bad shoulder. Would you pray for me?
Yes,
and we all would join together.
Bless Neil. He's a hard worker. He needs that arm. Heavenly Father, heal it right
Jesus
away.
Jesus' name.
God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. You are the healer, and I appropriate the blood and the body. Jesus. And for all of us this day who need a touch, God, I just lift them up unknowingly who they are. But you do. Your spirit is here. You're certainly more mindful of us than we are ourselves. And I pray, God, right now in Jesus' name, that you would just go through this small congregation and touch each person by your spirit right now in Jesus' name.
Father,
give them that healing.
The reality that in the midst of our circumstances, you truly are blessing us.
Yes.
And also with that, you are blessing us in the midst of our circumstances, and also with that, the hope that we have in you.
Amen. Yes.
Have,
Jesus. Amen. And then this gentleman writes, and I think it's from India, I'm not sure. If you don't mind, I would humbly like to ask your prayer support for my dear mom. Last night she was hospitalized due to the dangerous fever she got. D-E-N-G-U-E. Truly, you're my long-distant prayer partner in Christ. God bless you all and fam. And then at the end he wrote, the sky is not always blue and clouds free, and when dark clouds gather, we're given a chance to prove how real our God is. So let's bow, and what one of you pray is we all pray together for this man's mom. Yes, Jesus.
If the dengue fever caught her, and again, you are the holder of the healer of all things, and no matter where this person is or who it is, you know about her, and we're just expecting your
yes,
healing
Jesus
power
name.
To be evident in this case, Lord. And we thank you in
mm-hmm.
advance and praise you again.
Right. And for all of these requests, we do praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are a listening God, you are an acting God, and you are a loving God. And may we just all stand in his presence right now. And God, I ask that you bless us now in all that we do this week. We thank you above all for the presence that we've had with you together and for the reception that you have given each one of us as we have told you how much we love you. And as we ask you now to bless us as we go from this place to our homes, remind us that you are already there, and we ask that your favor and grace would go before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Your offering is here if you'd like to give if you haven't. Next Sunday, our associate pastor will speak, and he will bring his family, and we will have a potluck, and we hope that all of you will plan to participate in the potluck. And Mike, next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Right. And it will be the first time Mike has had the whole service on his own. So help him, please. Help him. Should I?
I have
carried so many boxes in, and I have painted up.
See, you're not supposed to be up like this.
And of course, my arthritic nerve has not healed anyway, so I've had the pain already in my arm, and then it's been magnified that way. But I can be just walking, and all of a sudden, it just hits me really hard, and I hate to cry out. Okay. I hate to say that, but it's,
yeah. Okay.
So the idea is not to move it too much.
Well, that was what I was told. I fell on my kitchen floor several times, and the doctor just had me carried around.
Really? Well, I should take that advice.
You're irritating.
Just a matter of healing. Unless it's really...
Unless they're going to go in and...
Do something, right, right. Well, I will... I told Nancy once I got... And I'm shifting the truck. Oh, that hurt too. So as soon as I get this truck back...
This thing would really help what you have to do.
Right, getting down there.
Stop what you're doing.
Right. Well, I told Nancy and told all my kids that I can't do anything. And yesterday I told them all, I'm sorry... The living room ceiling has got to be painted before tomorrow morning when the furniture is delivered. And so Mike and Rob went over and painted it yesterday afternoon. And so they're going to have to pick up the slack. Thanks for helping me, man.
Okay.
I love that shirt, too. Oh, look at that religious, those religious pants she has on. Do you know why I call them religious?
Why?
Because they're holy.
I like this night house.
You like that night house. Let me tell you. Nobody knows what I'm about to tell you, okay? Okay. I'm getting a new office in my home, and it's going to be in the decor of lighthouses. And I got some lighthouse pictures, and I have a lighthouse lamp, a lighthouse light, and everything's going to be related to lighthouses. Good to see you kids today, and good to see you too.
Thank you.
Surprised, but good.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
I want to keep this.
I wish you could. This is for my new office. Can I see that? That's pretty. Yes, sir. Isn't that neat? Well, we love this. We love that.
And a piece of
bread. Now, she could have that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you may have that.
You didn't get to take
home.
No.
Well,
it's okay.
We're going to be in Creek Bridge.
That's good that you can do that. That's a good picture.
Oh,
okay. Teresa.
Mommy, where's Alice?
Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Thank you.